Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Isn't good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of our blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? Does the Father truly love us? Does his Spirit move among us? Our Messiah, forever those he loves. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able? Who conquered the
that is our pre-worship song for this coming Sunday. We'd like to give you that little preview on Sunday night and Wednesday night so you're ready for it when we sing that on Sunday morning. So want to welcome everybody who's here in person, everybody who's on our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe. If you've got any prayer requests, please do that over on Facebook. That's what we'll be looking at during the broadcast to give any updates from those. If you've got any updates or prayer requests you needed to have, do that on Facebook. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming also. If you know somebody who needs that, it's a toll-free call. Doesn't cost anything on the person's side who's receiving the call. And so it's a great resource we have there that goes out from our church, just like all the video does. It just is the audio that goes through your telephone line. So I want to encourage you, if you know somebody who doesn't have the internet, doesn't do the internet, that's a great resource you can share with them. See us tonight. Call us at the church office. We'll be glad to give you that information for that telephone number. If you have access to the church website, go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin for this week, the children's worship bulletins. Those are at the doors when you came in. These are at the windowsill over here to my right. And then also you have the prayer list that's under that same info tab. Those are down here on the front pews. If you see somebody come in late, please make sure that they get one of those. We do want to just continue to remind you to be praying about our offering for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. You can do your offering there online also. Just go to the far right-hand side, click that Give Online tab. Regular offering, Annie Armstrong Easter offering that supports our North American missionaries. Don't forget the fold-out that we gave you this past Sunday. There are still some of those around. If you didn't get one or you lost yours, you can use that to be praying through. If you are on our church Facebook group, we've been sharing there. I believe it's the group. Maybe it's the page. It may be the page. We've been sharing there. I think it is the page. We've been sharing on the page each day, except for today. I didn't get around to that because we had so many other things that were happening. But we will put that up after the services tonight and after our choir practice. But we have been putting up each day some information about one of our missionaries. We're going to be sharing some of those videos throughout the next weeks. So keep praying about what God would have you to give. Keep praying for those missionaries who are serving all across North America. Also, just want to remind you about the YouVersion Bible app. We have put up the new Bible study prayer book that we're going through. It's not the one that we have been advertising on the screens before the Lord Hear Our Cry. It is our Hoosier 1 40-day devotional prayer. I don't have that graphic up yet on the screens, but it is there on the YouVersion Bible app. If you go and find our church, it is the featured Bible reading plan. We'll have that up for the next couple of months for March and April. I want to encourage you, it's a 40-day plan. You can start it anytime. The earlier that you start it, the better, because then you can finish it by the time the end of April comes around so that you'll be ready when the next one starts in the month of May. But just want to encourage you to be praying there. Pray about also the Bless app and getting involved in that so that you can connect with your neighbors and be praying for your neighbors. I don't know about you, but I've been watching the little ticker thing that shows up on our Facebook page, on our not our Facebook page, but our website. Go to the home page on the website, and there's a banner there that tells you where we are as a church, of how many homes have been adopted, how many homes have been prayed for, how many people have already invited to eat with them, and different things like that, how many some have even shared the gospel with already. It is awesome to see that growing. Thank you so much for those who are signing up for that. You don't have to sign up on the internet if you don't want to. You can call the church office, and we'll get you connected to that so we can print off five of your neighbors every week for you to be praying for. So it's not just random people throughout the city. It will be five of your neighbors that are closest to your address that you can begin praying for. So if you want to be a part of that and blessing your community, blessing your neighborhood, it begins with prayer and then goes to just talking with people, listening to them, inviting them to eat. We continue to encourage you to use that great resource we have on Wednesday nights with our Wednesday night meal. It's a free meal. It doesn't cost anybody anything to come to that. It doesn't cost you to invite your friends to come and join us for that meal. That only goes, though, through the end of our Awana program. So while it's there, I'd encourage you to take the opportunity to invite people to come and be a part of that. And then you're just looking for ways to serve and ways then to share your story. But you have the QR code on your screen. You can scan that with your phone. That will take you directly to our Bless app link there where you can connect with our church. And so I'd encourage you to go ahead and take the time to do that. If you need help with that, please call the church office. We'll be glad to help you with that too. So Brother Mike.
Good evening, everybody. Take your hymnals. This is one that I can't even remember the last time I saw a correlation with this song and what Brother Jim was preaching, and I may have missed this one, but at least I think it goes with the service. Let's sing Trusting Jesus, hymn 417. You can stand if you can. Trusting Jesus, all four verses. Miss Suzanne.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him will bear before, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly does His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While He leads, I cannot fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger for Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last, trusting Him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Thank you. Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you, Miss Suzanne. Thank you, Mike. Take your Bibles tonight, and you can go ahead and be turning to Jeremiah, but hopefully you've had your prayer list out. You've downloaded it there from the website. We're going to be getting to Jeremiah here in just a few moments. Notice some are already joining us there on Facebook. If you have a prayer request, please share that there. I've got some that have been given to me that I need to share with you tonight also. So we're not going to read through all of the prayer requests that are on our prayer list tonight. I encourage you to take the time to do that, but I do want to give some updates of some. So just want to share with you, if you go about halfway up on the Highland Baptist Church family side, Brother Tommy Griffin, he is in the hospital. Brenda had to take him to the hospital last week to the emergency room. He was having real bad pain in his left elbow. They said he had bursitis in that. And so they gave him some antibiotics, sent him home, but it continued to get worse, and it burst yesterday or this morning, and she had to take him back. And so he is in the hospital. He is getting some antibiotics through IV, but just keep him in your prayers. He'll have to be there for a few days with all the situations of his medical issues that makes it even more magnified when you have infection there. So keep him and Brenda in your prayers. I don't know if I can get this one up or not. I will look for it here. Let me just skip over it and go to Miss Linda Jones. Has anybody got an update on Miss Linda? We know that she had to go to the hospital last week. I'm assuming she's back at home. I've not heard any more on her, but do want to keep her in your prayers. I have so many messages here. Do want to remember Leanne Wells in your prayers. She did send me a message today, so let me go ahead and get that one because I do have that one right up here. She said today, that this afternoon, that she was doing good until last night when she started to experience some really bad pain in her hip. I remember she had the hip surgery there from a broken hip. So she said she's in some really bad pain in her hip running down through her leg. Just pray that this pain gets better and goes away so she can get back to walking again. So keep Leanne in your prayers with that. Glenn is doing really good. He's antsy about getting back to doing things, but he has those restrictions until he gains goes through those times where he can't lift things, but he is walking. Carrie can't keep up with him because he's walking like 3 or 4 miles a day, so that's a good thing. So we praise the Lord that he's doing really well. Barbara Waller had surgery on her back. Has anybody got an update on her? All right, so don't see an update there online either, but do want to continue to keep her in your prayers. Miss Suzanne Barton slowly, steadily keeps improving. She is responding with hand and feet movements, and now today is also responding with her eyes. And so we praise the Lord for that. They have removed some of the medications that she was on. That's all kind of got to get out of her system. She is mostly breathing on her own now, very little on the machine. And so we praise the Lord for that. They'll just continue tweaking that each day. And so hopefully here soon she'll be able to recover from that and be able to be back on the road to mending there. So do keep her in your prayers. I was trying to get to the other one, and I doubt that I'm going to find it here. I don't have it there. But that is one I skipped over earlier there. Want to remember Miss Carolyn Waller. She's doing better, still has some pains with her back. Miss Gail McBride is still recovering from her surgery. She's going to have a back brace on for about 6 months or so at least. And so, but she's starting to get closer to that stage of doing more therapy. So just pray for her when that begins there. But she's still been in a lot of pain from that. And then Miss Gayla Everett, she had back surgery also. She is slowly improving, Robert said. He has some other issues himself too with the cancer diagnosis that he recently got. And so want to keep both of them in your prayers. And then the other Highland Baptist Church family that we want to mention there. We have some others that are kind of connected to that on the other side that we'll talk about in a moment. But just remember Libby Ferris. She had an incident this morning. They had to take her to the hospital here, and they recommended her to go to Vanderbilt to the Children's Hospital. So they have taken her up there just to observe her and do some tests to see what was going on with her. But keep her and the family in your prayers. Last we talked with them, she was back to her chip herself, and so hopefully they can determine the issues that she had there, what caused that. So keep her and Kelly and Jason in your prayers. Any other on our Highland Baptist Church family side? I'm looking on Facebook there, but I don't see any there, so let's go ahead and go over to the friends and family side, and let me get back to the top. Messages. And just to share with you about Miss Linda, we'll take her mom's names first, Mary Leibig. The message that come from Linda today was thank you to our Highland Church family for all the prayers for her mom, Mary Leibig. She got home February the 27th after a long stay at rehab. We're also thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness and loving kindness since her fall at Christmas time. Everybody at Erlanger and at the rehab loved her mom and worked very hard to help her recover. She's glad to be home with her cat and enjoying all the visits from friends and family. Her 97th birthday was February the 28th. The day after she got home, and they had a nice birthday celebration. And hospice is being very helpful with them as her kids, as her mom is at home. And so we praise the Lord for that. Just continue to keep her in your prayers. We also have underneath there Lonnie Lance, who is Miss Faye Mays' brother, who has cancer. Hanka Graham, any update there? Okay, no update on Hanka. With cancer, Kim Saunders, who has medical issues, Cherry Williams, she actually, you can remove her from the prayer list. She's doing better, so go ahead and remove her. She is still doing some early tests and things to determine her treatment, but we'll probably put her back on a little bit later as things improve there, or as things she gets closer to more of her surgeries that she may have to have. Want to remember also Alton Scroggs. He did have his knee replacement surgery. Everything went well with that. Once he recovers from that one and gets everything rehabbed through that, he's going to have the other one done. So keep Alton in your prayers. He's the pastor at Cumberland Baptist Church. And then want to especially remember Jacqueline Solinger Painter and her family in the loss of her babies, the passing of them. We know where they are. They are with the Lord. And so, but just pray for comfort for that family as they go through these days, especially. That God will wrap his loving arms around them. Remember Bethany Curtis? Any update on Bethany? Okay, so next week's when she'll see the doctor to get some updates on her situation, so keep Bethany in your prayers. Linda Bollinger's niece, Keisha, keep her in your prayers. Josiah Wendell?
He is potentially being a transplant as we speak.
Okay. Okay, and so this was a baby that was premature born, had liver failure, and is presumably, from what we understand from the latest details, is in liver replacement surgery right now. So keep Josiah Wendell and his family in your prayers. And then Tim Forsyth. We've had Tim on our prayer list for quite a while back before when his cancer was prominent, and then he went through a lot of treatments. Things subsided there, but he recently was put back into the hospital this past week, last week, and so his cancer is back. They, I believe, are sending him home tomorrow, from what we understand. There's not much they can do for his situation. So he is the youth pastor at Trinity Baptist over in Manchester. So keep him in your prayers as well as his family. I don't know if he's going to seek a second opinion or not, but as we know of right now, things do not look good for him. Any others that we need to add? Any other updates on that side? Right, I'm looking on Facebook and I don't see any there. Again, if we don't get your update or your prayer request right now, you can still make that there. We'll try to look at the end of the service back there to see if there's any prayer requests or updates. I want to remember Miss Bertie Davis in your prayers at Brookdale, Miss Beverly Daniels at Morning Point, Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home. Saw him a couple of weeks ago. He seems to be doing pretty good. Miss Mary Lee Stringfield, keep her in your prayers at Lynchburg Nursing Home. And then Miss Catherine Smith, who is still at NHC Tullahoma. So keep all of those in your prayers. Any others? All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer then for these as well as others that may be on your hearts. And uplift our service for tonight. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in the most turbulent of times in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for being the peace that comes into the storm. Father, I thank you for calming our spirits when we trust in you, when we draw closer to you. Father, we come before you tonight and we want to draw close to you, but you've told us, Lord, that our sin that is unresolved in our hearts hinders that relationship with you, hinders our relationship, hinders our prayers. And Father, we just want to come before you tonight and ask for your forgiveness, for your cleansing, for you, Lord, to open the channels between us and you as we intercede in prayer on behalf of many people who are on this prayer list that we mentioned and others we didn't, and maybe even other requests that are on our hearts. Father, we just want to give you the glory and the honor for all that you have done for us, especially in sending Christ to die on the cross for our sins, to be resurrected from the grave, that we could have eternal life, that we could even come into your presence boldly before the throne of grace, not on our behalf, not on our merits or anything we've done, but simply by your grace and your mercy that we can come before you and plead and intercede for them. And so, Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. We want nothing to hinder that relationship with you. So, Lord, if there are sins we've committed against you, bring them into the light of your truth. If there are things, Lord, that we have done that we or not done that we should have done, sins of omission, Father, I pray that you would bring those into the light of the truth for us to confess them, to repent of them, to seek your spirit to transform and change our hearts, our minds, our lives from the inside out, to be more faithful in our walk with you, to be a living example of Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives. Father, we know we're not perfect, and we won't be until we get to heaven, but Lord, I pray that we will keep striving to make the greatest impact that we can for the kingdom of God in the time that we have left on this earth. So, Lord, we want to come before you right now and intercede on each one of these that we've mentioned, Lord. Lord, some of these have surgeries that are going on right now, and we just ask God for you to guide the surgeons, give them wisdom, give them understanding, and guide their hands as they do that surgery. Father, we pray for your blessings upon, especially this little baby having this liver transplant. Father, we just pray that you would have your hand upon them, Lord, and that things would go well with this surgery. Father, we just uplift this little baby into your hands and ask for your will to be done. Lord, we pray for others who have upcoming surgeries, others who are having tests done, others who are trying to figure out by going to the medical care facilities to find out what is happening in their bodies. And Father, we just pray that you will continue to give those caregivers and doctors and nurses wisdom and discernment about the proper care from man's side. But Lord, we know that you are the great physician. And so we come before you tonight, Lord, asking you to divinely intervene in these people's lives, that there would be no way to explain what happened in the miracle that you bring about in their bodies, but that it was your hand, it was you at work, that we might testify, Lord, of your greatness, not only your greatness to bring physical healing, but ultimately your greatness to bring spiritual healing from our sin, from death into life. And Father, I pray that you would use us in a blessed way to be a blessing to these individuals, uplifting them in prayer, bathing them in prayer, talking with them, encouraging them, being a blessing in other ways that we might, whether it's a meal or helping them through some specific situation they're going through or need that they have. Father, I pray that you will open up opportunities for us to show and demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ in their lives. And Father, I pray that many of these, some of these may not even know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I pray that the situations they're going through would cause them to turn to you, that there would be nowhere else for them to look for help but from you, the Lord. And I pray that they will find that help in the presence of Jesus Christ and in your grace and your mercy. And so we ask, Lord, for your blessings upon each one of these. For those who are believers, Father, I pray that you will help them to keep pressing forward one moment at a time, one day at a time, being the witness through the storms that they're going through, and just encourage them and strengthen them to help them, Lord, to be a witness in whatever situation they are in right now. So we ask your blessings upon them in a powerful way right now. Father, we pray for our kids who are here with Awana. We pray for all those workers who are working with them too, and may you bless them and shower grace and mercy upon them. Give them wisdom, Lord, as they look at opportunities and take the most of those opportunities to share the gospel with those kids, to pour the love of Christ into their hearts. Lord, I pray that as those kids are memorizing scriptures, that those scriptures would not just be words that are rote memory, but it would be impactful in their lives, that it would transform their lives as they begin to realize the truth of those passages that they're memorizing. Father, we just pray for your blessings upon each and every one of them. Bless, Lord, our youth who are studying your word tonight with our youth leaders and Pastor Matt. We pray, God, that you'll just bless them in a special special way. Lord, continue to help our youth to have a passion and a hunger for you and to grow deeper in that walk with you. Lord, be with families in our church. There are many families, Lord, who are struggling through various things. Father, we just pray that your grace would be upon them. As you've told us, your grace is sufficient for all of our needs. Shower them with your grace and your loving kindness. Father, we pray tonight as we come here in this time to study your word in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 15. Lord, may your word be alive. May it be powerful, but may it be instructive. May it be applicable to our lives. May it be transformative in the truths that we learn. Use it, Lord, to change our hearts and change our lives, that we would become more like Christ, less like us. And Father, I pray that we would, when we see those faults of complaining in our lives that we're going to look at tonight from Jeremiah, I pray, God, that you will help us to recognize those things and to deal with those things before they become sinful in our lives. So bless your word tonight. We ask you to bless our time together. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, take your Bibles if you haven't already got there. Jeremiah chapter 15. All right, Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 1 down through verse 21. It is not that long of a chapter, even though it is 21 verses. There's a lot yet in these verses. Some things situated there. I've entitled this message tonight, "The Problem with Complaining." The problem with complaining. And we're going to see that in Jeremiah and his complaints before the Lord. So we're just going to begin reading with verse 1 down to verse 9, and then we'll talk about some things that lead us into the rest of this chapter, because it's especially in verses 10 down to verse 21 that we see the complaints. But the beginning part here lays the foundation for that. So Jeremiah 15, verse 1 down through verse 9. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my heart would not turn toward this people. Send them out of my sight and let them go. And when they ask you, where shall we go? You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, those who are for pestilence to pestilence. Those who are for the sword, you can go to the sword. For those who are for famine to famine. And those who are for captivity to captivity. I will appoint over them four kinds of destroyers, declares the Lord. The sword to kill, the dogs to tear, and the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth because of what Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, did in Jerusalem." So he's pointing out some sins that happened with King Manasseh. Manasseh's story is horrible. He was a horrible, horrible, ruthless leader. And some of the things he did were very disgusting things that he did. And so that's why God says here that he will make them a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth because of what Manasseh, the son of King Hezekiah, king of Judah, did in Jerusalem. Verse 5, "Who will have pity on you, O Jerusalem? Or who will grieve for you? Who will turn aside to ask about your welfare? You have rejected me, declares the Lord. You keep going backward. So I have stretched out my hand against you and destroyed you. I am weary of relenting. I have winnowed them with a winnowing fork in the gates of the land. I have bereaved them. I have destroyed my people. They did not turn from their ways." And he's implying they're from their wrong ways. "I have made their widows more in number than the sand of the seas. I have brought against them the mothers of young men, a destroyer at noonday. I have made anguish and terror fall upon them suddenly. She who bore seven has grown feeble. She has fainted away. The sun went down while it was yet day. She has been shamed and disgraced, and the rest of them I will give to the sword before their enemies, declares the Lord." You know, there are moments in the life of every believer when obedience feels costly. You follow the Lord faithfully, you seek to honor the Lord with your life, and yet the circumstances around you seem to grow more difficult rather than easier. In those moments, a quiet question can begin to form in the heart: why is this happening to me? And when you think about that, and you think about the issue of complaining here, complaining rarely begins as something dramatic. Most of the time, it slips quietly into our lives through small, everyday situations and circumstances and frustrations. You know, a delayed schedule, an inconvenience we didn't expect, a circumstance that comes into our life that it just doesn't seem fair. At first, it may seem harmless, just a few words expressing our irritation, but over time, complaining can become a habit of the heart. And instead of seeing God's hand in our circumstances, we begin focusing on what we believe is missing, what we see from our perspective that seems difficult or sometimes even undeserved. And what starts in many times in our lives as a passing frustration slowly begins to reshape the way we interpret life itself. You begin to look at things through that lens, and eventually our hearts become more aware of problems than aware of God's presence. And if we're not careful, that question can turn into a complaint. We begin to measure our circumstances against what we believe we deserve. And instead of seeing our calling and God's hand upon us as a privilege, we start to view it as a burden. And when that shift occurs, discouragement can begin to take root. But understand, complaining is never just about the circumstances in our life. Complaining really reveals a deeper issue about our trust in God. So when we complain, we're often questioning whether God is truly working for our good or whether he has allowed something into our lives that shouldn't be there. And if that mindset continues unchecked, it can quietly begin to reshape our relationship with God. What begins as disappointment slowly becomes resentment. And resentment can eventually become self-pity. So understand, Scripture shows us that even faithful servants of God can struggle in that same way. And when the burdens of obedience become heavy and expectations go unmet, discouragement can begin to grow in your heart. And if you don't address it, that discouragement can deepen in your heart into something far more dangerous. It can lead us from disappointment into bitterness and ultimately into self-pity. And that's exactly what we're going to see here in the life of Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah has already had to come to the people to declare God's word to them, and he didn't like what God told him to have to say to them. And here in chapter 15, in the beginning here, God is telling him to tell the people all these things that are going to happen to them. You know, and the natural question then becomes, why is all this happening to us? Don't we do that? You know, things happen in our lives, we wonder why is this happening? Sometimes you're being faithful and things just happen. Other times, it's as a result of consequences of choices that we made in our lives. So we need to weigh that out and seek the wisdom from God of, is there anything in my heart, is there any sin in my life that has led me to this place? And if God doesn't pinpoint something in your heart, then you have to realize that he has allowed some things in our lives to mature us, to make us more complete, lacking nothing. Well, the prophet Jeremiah here has already been called by God. You remember when we read about Jeremiah's call? He didn't say, Jeremiah, you're gonna grow a big dynamic mega church. People's gonna love you. You're just gonna be the talk of the town. You're gonna be the star, if you will, of my kingdom work as a prophet. No, he said, Jeremiah, you're gonna struggle. It's gonna be hard. You're gonna think you're gonna die. And he knew this struggle himself well, because God had called him to tell God's truth to a people who did not want to hear it. And his obedience continually, constantly kept putting him in a place, in a position of conflict with the culture around him. And over time, you could begin to see that if you were in that place of Jeremiah, over time, the weight of that responsibility began to press heavily on his heart. Think about the message he's just had to share with them in verses 1 down through verse 9. If you prefer the sword, you're going to die by the sword. If you prefer the pestilence, you're going to die by the pestilence. And he's having to tell people something they don't want to hear. The famine, you can go to the famine. If you want the captivity, I'll give you the captivity is what God is saying. And so all of that message that he continually has to keep bringing to the people who don't want to hear it, over time, the weight of that presses on his heart. And his discouragement begins to surface more and more and more, and it surfaces in words of complaint. And so we read Jeremiah's words in the last half of this chapter, and we begin to encounter a man here who begins by expressing honest frustration, but gradually finds himself sinking into discouragement and self-pity. His struggles raise a question for us. Is complaining ever justified? Is complaining ever justified? Well, from a human perspective, the answer often depends on how we view our circumstances. Sometimes we joke about our, what we might call, you maybe have heard this term before, our first world problems. We don't have problems like a lot of the rest of the world has. Our internet connection is slow. We're dropping packets. We're dropping our service that's going out online, and we get frustrated. We can't get our cell phone to work like our cell phone ought to work. And yet when we place those inconveniences alongside the sufferings that exist throughout the world, poverty, persecution, hunger, it begins to become clear that many of the things we complain about on a daily basis are relatively minor. When our perspective widens, complaining often appears less reasonable than when we first imagined it. Sometimes when we hear what we've said, somebody repeats to us what we've said, you're like, yeah, that really does sound dumb, doesn't it? Well, notice here, another important question emerges as we read passages like this in the scripture. If complaining can be so dangerous, then why does the Bible include so many examples of God's servants who seem to be complaining, expressing their frustrations? The answer actually reveals something profound about the nature of scriptures. Because when you look at the scripture, the Bible does not present idealized portraits of perfect people who never struggle. Instead, it records for us real experiences of men and women who wrestled with fear, who wrestled with doubt, who wrestled with disappointment, who wrestled with grief. All of those are natural emotions that any of us will experience. Fear, doubt, disappointment, grief. What we want to be careful about is not to stay in those places, because if you stay in those places, it leads to worse things in our lives. But Scripture honestly preserves those moments without hiding them from various people throughout the Scriptures, because it helps us to understand both the depth of human weakness and also the patience of God and His grace. And so rather than God just erasing those struggles, God has those things recorded for us in His Word so that we can learn how He responds when His people bring their burdens to Him. In Jeremiah's case, you can certainly understand why he feels overwhelmed. We said it before, God's called him to deliver a message to the people of Judah that didn't want to hear it. And his task was not just simply to encourage them, but to confront them with the truth about their sin and the coming judgment of God. And the nation had turned away from the Lord. They were preferring the words of the false prophets who were promising peace and prosperity. And those prophets told the people exactly what they wanted to hear. And here's Jeremiah, who's over here all by himself, alone, proclaiming a message You need to repent. He's giving a message of repentance and warning. And naturally, that made him unpopular, made him even hated by individuals. And as we said before, when God first called Jeremiah, he described the nature of his ministry with very much clarity here. Jeremiah would be appointed in that call, he said, to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to demolish. And only after that happens would God use him in ministry to build up and to plant. In other words, much of his work in ministry would involve confronting sin and exposing deception before restoration could ever happen. You know, few people enjoy hearing the kind of messages Jeremiah was bringing. But his calling required of him courage and endurance and the willingness even to face rejection. So it's no surprise that such a difficult assignment eventually weighed heavily on his heart. So I want you to see some things about complaining from these last verses in verse 10 down through verse 21. In verse 10 through verse 14, I want you to see that complaining can lead to disillusionment. Look at verse 10. Woe is me, this is Jeremiah speaking to the Lord. Woe is me, my mother that you bore, woe is me, my mother that you bore me, a man of strife and contention to the whole land. I have not lent, nor have I borrowed, yet all of them curse me. The Lord said, have I not set you free for their good? Have I not pleaded for you before the enemy in the time of trouble and in the time of distress? Can one break iron, iron from the north, and bronze? Your wealth and your treasures I will give as spoil without price. For all your sins throughout all your territory, I will make you serve your enemies in a land that you do not know. For in my anger a fire is kindled that shall burn against you. And so Jeremiah begins in this part of the message, after just having delivered the message of judgment in the first nine verses there, he begins his lament by expressing his deep discouragement. He feels as though his very presence has become a source of conflict. It's almost like he's almost saying, I wish I'd never been born because I'm having to go through all this. I don't want to have to go through this anymore. Sometimes we find ourselves in that kind of place. And even though he has not cheated anybody, even though he's treated people fairly, he's not treated anybody unjustly, he finds himself, he says, people are cursing at him. People are rejecting him. And that opposition he faces seems unfair. Why, Lord, are you letting these people curse me when I didn't do anything wrong? I've just been doing what you told me to do. And so it's unfair, it's relentless, and in the midst of that pain, Jeremiah even wishes, as we're reading there in verse 10, he's wishing he never had been born. Now, that statement is particularly striking when you remember that Jeremiah had been called by God. When you go back to his calling in the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, he was called by God even before his birth. God had told him that he was chosen, that he was set apart from the womb to serve as a prophet. And yet now Jeremiah feels as though the calling that once seemed honorable has become a source of his suffering. And his discouragement is not just about the opposition that he's facing, it's about the ministry itself. Deep down, he's wondering whether the burden of this calling is more than he can bear. And so God responds first with patience and reassurance. First, he reminds Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I'm still going to protect you. Even though the enemies surrounding you are powerful and numerous, they will not ultimately prevail. He reminds him that my presence is going to sustain you. Secondly, God reaffirms the certainty of the message that Jeremiah is proclaiming, that judgment is coming. And that judgment is coming on Judah, and that is inevitable. Just like iron from the north is strong and unbreakable, he's saying there that the events that God has ordained, they will come to pass. And Jeremiah's message may be unpopular, but it's true. And even with those reassurances, Jeremiah's discouragement keeps deepening. And we see, secondly, that complaining can lead to bitterness and resentment. You see this in verse 15 to verse 17. So verse 15 says, O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, as if God had departed, as if God had left him. Come back to me, visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. So notice the progression of his complaint here. Jeremiah keeps speaking, his words begin to reveal a growing sense of frustration in his heart. And he begins to question, why has this hardship come upon him? I'm delivering the message of what you're going to do to those people. Why is this hardship coming upon me when I've been faithful to you, Lord? And so he reminds the Lord that I love your word. I find joy in receiving your word. He remembers that he's been called by God, that he bears God's name. And he also points out in those verses we just read that he has separated himself from those who mock God and indulge in rebellion. He didn't want to have anything to do with them. He says, I'm alone. I'm over here by myself. I'm not doing the things they're doing. I'm not participating in the things they're participating in. In other words, Jeremiah believes he's lived a life of obedience. And yet, in spite of living that life of obedience, he's experiencing not blessing, but finds himself surrounded by disgrace and opposition. And that tension creates a painful question in his mind. Why would God allow such suffering in the life of someone who has been so faithful? And we question that, don't we? That question reveals, though, for Jeremiah here, the beginning of bitterness. Because Jeremiah expected that obedience would bring a certain measure of protection or reward. And when those expectations weren't met, in his mind, disappointment began to grow. And over time, disappointment slowly evolves into resentment if we don't address it. The truth is that while Scripture often associates obedience with blessing, that God will bless you if you obey, blessings are never something we can demand from God. Every blessing is ultimately an expression of God's grace. God gives according to his perfect wisdom, not according to our expectations. And because we can't see the full picture of God's purposes, there are always going to be moments that we don't understand why God allows certain hardships into our life. That mystery can challenge our faith at times, and it was challenging Jeremiah's faith if we're not careful. So notice, thirdly, that complaining can lead to self-pity. Verse 18, why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Like I look over here at this brook that's flowing with fresh water, and I can't get any of it. It just is through my hands, and I never can get any taste of it. So eventually here, Jeremiah's discouragement reaches its painful climax, if you will. He describes his suffering as a wound that refuses to heal. If you've ever had a wound that refuses to heal, you kind of understand what he's saying there. And day after day, he carries that same burden, and it seems as if he's not getting any relief. Sometimes life is like that for us. And the exhaustion of constant opposition, day after day after day, of people cursing him out, people who are treating him badly, it begins to overwhelm him. It would overwhelm any of us. And Jeremiah speaks words that reveal how deeply discouraged he has become. And he says that God, you seem to me like a deceptive stream. You seem like a source that promises water, but ultimately proves unreliable. And if we're honest, sometimes we found ourselves in that same place as Jeremiah. Jeremiah feels as though the help that he expected from God, where is it? It hadn't come. And those words illustrate the danger of self-pity, because when discouragement in our life remains unchecked, our perspective of things, our view of things, can become distorted. And we begin to interpret our circumstances through the lens of our pain rather than through the truth of God's character. And that's the danger for us, because self-pity narrows our focus until all you can see is your pain and your heartache and your suffering. But self-pity is ultimately self-centered. It turns the heart inward rather than upward. Instead of seeking God's perspective, our mind begins to be trapped in this cycle of disappointment and resentment. And so notice God's response to Jeremiah's self-pity in verse 19, and to our self-pity. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. So notice that God responds to Jeremiah both with a firmness and with grace. Because he tells Jeremiah here that he's gone too far in his accusations towards him. By suggesting that God has deceived him, that God has somehow failed him, Jeremiah has crossed the line, if you will, gone beyond the boundary of just crying out in pain of a faithful lament before God. And yet God still, even in that, does not abandon Jeremiah. Instead, he calls Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, if you'll return to me, if you'll repent, if you'll renew your commitment to the mission that I've given to you, I'll bless you. If Jeremiah, if you'll turn back to the Lord, if you'll speak what is true and what is valuable rather than what is empty and emotional, I promise I will restore you. But you're going to speak to this people. And verse 19 says, they shall turn to you, but you're not going to turn to them. You're still going to have to speak the truth. Notice here, he's still got to speak what's true. And that condition that we see here is simple but profound. Jeremiah has to return to speaking God's word faithfully. His responsibility and our responsibility is not to control how people respond, but to remain obedient to the message that God has entrusted to us. So in other words, I can't change anybody out there. And you can't change anybody out there and how they treat you and what they do to you. All you can change is yourself. All you can do is submit yourself to the will of God. All you can do is bring yourself back to the Lord. Instead of looking at the world through the lens of your pain, to begin looking to the Lord and his truth and his word, to know that he is faithful in his promises all throughout his word, even if we don't understand why we're going through what we're going through at the moment. And so notice God's promise to the faithful in the last two verses. He says, and I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. That's a truth that we as believers can stand upon also. He says, I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. So along with that call in the previous verses to renew himself before the Lord, God gives Jeremiah here a powerful promise. He tells him, you're going to become like a fortified wall of bronze. The people are going to fight against you still because they're not going to like the message. That's not going to change. I can't change those people. That Jeremiah, you can't change those people. God can. But the people may fight against you, but he says they're not going to prevail because I'm with you. And so that promise doesn't mean that Jeremiah, when he tells him that they may fight against you, but they'll not prevail against you. That promise doesn't mean that Jeremiah is now, from this point forward, he's going to have a life free from suffering. In fact, his ministry is still going to continue to involve hardship and opposition. And that's why we have a whole nother book by Jeremiah called Lamentations. And all that is his weeping, his crying before the Lord from the pain that he's been going through. But God assures him that even though you're going to be attacked, you're not going to be utterly destroyed. The Lord himself will rescue you. The Lord himself will deliver you. So think about it in this perspective. The worst that somebody could do to you today to kill you physically, the scripture promises you to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So why do I have to fear what man can do to me? That's what he's telling Jeremiah. Jeremiah, don't fear. Don't worry about what man can do to you. Don't matter about how they treat you. You just keep your focus on me, Jeremiah. And when we're going through times of discouragement and that's leading to disillusionment, that leads to complaining against God, we need to come back to that place in our life. Jeremiah's story teaches us an important lesson about discouragement. His struggle did not come from rebellion or sin. His discouragement came from the burden of faithful obedience. He was suffering because he stayed committed to speaking God's truth in a culture that rejected it. So examine the struggle that you're going through. Is it consequences because of sinful choices I've been making? Or have I been striving to live? We're not perfect now, understand that. But am I striving to live for the Lord? And I'm not rebelling against the Lord. I'm not turning from the Lord. And I'm striving to live for the Lord. And I'm going through difficult circumstances. It may be that God is allowing those things in your life to mold you and shape you and teach you and use you. You know, in our own lives, we may experience moments of disappointment and confusion, yet we have to guard our hearts carefully because disillusionment can come, but bitterness and self-pity do not have to follow. Disillusionment and some of those other things that we talked about, fear and different things like that, are natural emotions that come to us, but you don't have to stay there. And those responses are choices that we make when we allow discouragement to dominate our thinking. The answer is always the key for what Jeremiah needed to learn. The key for us tonight that we need to learn is to always return to the Lord. Always renew our trust in His word, in His wisdom, and remain faithful to the calling that He's given us. And when you do that, you will discover that even in your most difficult seasons, God is strengthening you and God is guiding you because He promised and He is faithful to keep His promise and He is accomplishing His purposes through your life. God works all things together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jeremiah, for showing us, even through the scriptures here, the honest, downright picture here of his human discouragement. Because we can relate to that, Lord. There are times in our lives where we get discouraged by the way we're treated at our job. We get discouraged by the way we're treated by family sometimes. The way we're treated in church, sometimes people experience that. Father, I pray that we would make sure that if there is sin in our hearts that we've committed, that we repent of those things. We turn back from those things and turn back to you. But Lord, if we, through that process, are praying and asking you to reveal and we're just not seeing it, that there's something that we did that we shouldn't have done, Lord, maybe it's because you are wanting to mature us. You are wanting to build us, to strengthen us. You're wanting to guide us so that we can accomplish the purpose you've called us to. Father, help us in those moments to just keep being faithful. Keep our focus on you. That's hard to do, Lord, when the weight of the burden is weighing down upon us, when people are treating us in ways that are hurtful and painful. Yet, Lord, help us to stay faithful to your word, to keep loving our enemies, to keep praying for our enemies, to keep being a witness of Jesus Christ to those who despitefully use us and persecute us, to pray for them, as your word tells us in the New Testament. And Father, I pray that as we do those things, may our perspective begin to change, may our character and our nature begin to change, and that we would focus on you and you would produce within us, Lord, faithfulness and assurance and confidence to know that you have promised in your word to never leave us nor forsake us. Even in the worst, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And help us to always come back to you. Lord, do your work in our lives to transform and change us. And may your will be done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you for joining with us there online. As I'm looking over on the Facebook page there, the Facebook Live, I don't see any prayer requests there. But thank you for being with us. We look forward to seeing you Sunday, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. Come and join us. You'll receive a wonderful blessing if you can come in person. But you have a blessed week, a safe week. We'll see you this coming Sunday.